All right, good evening. Thanks for the two of you that responded to this. Anyway, if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And we started this study 2 weeks ago, and we started a study on spiritual warfare. And we're just going to go verse by verse through 11 verses here in Ephesians 6. This is the passage on spiritual warfare. If you want to talk about the battle that is life, you're going to go here. And this is the place we're going to spend some time. And we took last Wednesday off because of the death in the church. And it feels like that we've been in a spiritual warfare over the past 10 days. I don't know if it feels that way for you, but it has felt that way for me. So I think God has providentially put us in this passage on spiritual warfare, knowing that we'd be right smack dab in the midst of a spiritual battle ourselves when we started it. So tonight, I want to look at the opening few verses. We're not going to get into the armor of God for at least two more weeks. But tonight, I want to look at these verses, and I think the verses 10 through 13 is really there to show us how to win the spiritual battles of life. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. The title of the sermon is How to Win the Spiritual Battles of Life. And I want to read just verses 10 to 13, and I want to teach you tonight how to win the spiritual battles of life. I know that we're all in a battle, each one individually. So I want to teach you how to win that battle. And we're going to do that tonight, starting in verse 10. Paul says this in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." I want to show you there what the victory consists of. We'll get into it in the passage, but this is how to win the spiritual battles of life. So let's pray together and look at these verses. Father, I ask for your help in teaching this tonight. I think these are important verses before we even get into the armor. And I think a lot of people just want to jump straight to the armor and explain that. And that's good. We'll do that. But before we get there, we need to understand how to win, what it means to win. So God, help me to do that. I want us all to win the spiritual battles in life, the day-to-day battles that we face. So God, help me to teach that. Help me to get across the truth of this passage. I think I've dug into this. I think I know what it means. And I want to do my best to get it across, to teach us all how we can win the day-to-day battles of the Christian life. This is good for us. I think a lot of times when I'm talking about myself, I lose a lot of battles. And I need to learn how to win these battles. And it's right here in these three verses. So God, teach us this tonight, and we ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been said that the Christian life is not a hard thing. It is an impossible thing. And I think that's true. I think as Christians, we face impossible challenges every single day. We have in our life three enemies that we face every single day. You need to know that. When you wake up in the morning, you have three enemies that you're going to face. And the battle that you're going to fight is against these three enemies. You're going to get up in the morning and you're going to fight against the fallen world that we live in. And that you're going to get out and you're going to walk out your front door. And really, I said this a few weeks ago, that the world has made its way into our homes so that we see it on our TVs, we watch it on our phones, it's everywhere that we look, this fallen world and all the issues that come with the fallen world. So you're going to run into that everywhere you go. You're going to run into a fallen world at your workplace, at school. You're going to run into it with friends and in your hobbies. Everywhere you go, there's this fallen world that is out there that is coming down upon you and fighting against you. So that's an impossible challenge to beat the world by itself. Second, you have this flesh that you're living in that we fight every single day. And once you get saved, this flesh does not go away. It just begins the battle of us in our spirit fighting against the flesh that we live in. We're constantly fighting desires and temptations. And that war, Paul talks about in Romans 7, that I'm constantly warring against myself where the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I'm constantly doing those things. That there's a fight every day with this old flesh. When will I be rid of this flesh that fights me every single day? So there's enemy number two. You with me so far? Enemy number one is the world that you live in. Enemy number two is this flesh that you live in. And then enemy number three is the devil. I mean, this is unreal. A supernatural foe who's out to steal, kill, and destroy. that he can't prevent us from becoming children of God. So he's constantly trying to prevent us from living like children of God. So we have this threefold enemy that's constantly fighting against us. That is the Christian life. It's not hard. It's impossible to live the Christian life. The Christian life would be defined as not a playground that we play in, but a battleground that we fight in. John MacArthur said it this way: living for Christ is not waltzing through a meadow picking daisies. It's walking through a minefield with snipers all around you that you can't see. We are in a spiritual war. We're caught in a cosmic conflict of eternal significance. And the question is, if this life is Christian life is not hard, it's impossible. If it's a war that we're going to struggle to win every single day, then how can we possibly win this war? How can we win? I want to say this. I said that wrong. Because the war has already been won. The battles we fight every single day are what we're trying to win. How can we fight and win the battles every single day? And that's exactly what Paul is trying to teach us in Ephesians 6. I believe from verse 10 down to verse 20, Paul is giving us in this section of Scripture what we need to win the fight. This is a metaphor that he's going to use, an illustration of spiritual warfare. That we are soldiers, we're fighting in this war, there's battles that are raging every single day. And he gives us in these verses everything we need in 10 verses on what we need to win the battles. If we can understand these verses, we'll win more battles than we lose. I don't think we'll ever get undefeated, but I think if we can understand these verses, then we can win more battles than we lose. So I want to teach you that tonight. I want to take you into this passage and I want to show you how to win the battles. These are foundational. The first three verses, foundational to understanding the armor of God. He's giving us this passage and telling us, here's how you win the spiritual battles every single day. So let's look at this passage. I got 3 points for really 2 verses. But I want to show you, number one, the empowerment that we need. The empowerment. And again, that empowerment. You got to have this. And he says there that the empowerment would be, let me show you the 3 words. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the power. There's your empowerment of His might. There's 3 words there talking about the power that we need. If we're going to win this war, we're going to win the battles every single day, you're going to need to be empowered. You're going to need to be strong. You're going to have might. He says that there in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong. I like that. It's a command. It's like Paul is the commanding officer, and we are these lowly soldiers, and he's taking his orders from Christ himself, and he looks down at every single one of the soldiers. He's looking at us here tonight, and he's saying, if you want to win the spiritual battles every single day, you must be strong. Be strong. It's a command. He's not saying you might want to be strong. He's saying you must be strong. It's a command. This is your job. You must be strong. You must have some muscle. You must have power. You must have some toughness. And this is not physical power. It's not physical strength. This is not something we can go get down at the gym and pump some iron and get strong enough to win a spiritual battle. This is not in the flesh. We need spiritual power. And when he says there, when he says be strong, it's continue being strong. Don't be strong one day, be strong every day. You've got to be growing in strength, increasing in your strength, ongoing, continual habit of life. Wake up every day and be strong. What he's saying here is in order to win, in order to live a victorious Christian life over our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, you're going to have to be strong. There's no place for weak Christians in the Lord's army. No weaklings in the Lord's army. And the problem with that is, as I'm looking around at you here tonight and saying, you've got to be strong. As I'm looking around at people at a funeral who's grieving the loss of a loved one, and I say, you've got to be strong. You've got to be strong to win this battle. The problem is, would anybody in here claim that they are strong? Spiritually speaking. Very few people would raise their hand, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand here tonight and say, do you consider yourself a strong Christian? Most of us would say no to that. I believe, in fact, many of us would say, I'm a weak Christian. That I am extremely weak. That even Paul would describe himself as weak. And we have a whole Bible full of passages that describe us as weak in and of ourselves. Joshua said when he was to take over from Moses and lead Israel, he said, I'm too weak within myself to do it. Even Jesus said in John 15 that without Him you can do nothing. That we are weak by ourselves. That our strength is not enough to win the battle. That it's not my power or my willpower. I can't face the world by myself. I can't face the fight in the flesh in my own power. I can't fight the devil in my own strength. I can't go to work. You can't go to school. We can't go to the grocery store in our own strength. So we can't win this if I have to be strong. This isn't about me flexing my muscle. Because the next word says, finally, my brethren, be strong, not in yourself. Not do your best, not believe in yourself, but be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Do you see that? This is not in us. We don't have that strength in ourselves. This is not me trying to work something up in me. This is not me doing spiritual exercises to make me stronger. This is strength that is found only in the Lord. And throughout the whole book of Ephesians, the Lord is Jesus. So it's in the power of His, Christ's might. Jesus is the source of our strength. We are in Christ. Ephesians 1 through 3, the whole first three chapters is teaching us about our connection to Christ in salvation. So if we're going to be connected to Him in salvation, then in our day-to-day life, it'll be our connection to Him and His strength that helps us fight the battles. We can't do this by ourselves. We have no hope in our own strength. It's like we are the power cord and He is the power source, and we have to plug into His strength every single day, or we'll go dead. We'll be unable to fix it. Every morning you need to get strength from Him. That our power has to come from the source. John 15 compares Him. He's the vine and we're the branches. And if we want to bear great fruit, it's going to be as connected to Him. We have to draw from His strength because we have none. If we want to have the strength to win, it'll come from Him. And it'll be of His, what's this? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We're pulling from His strength. We're pulling from His might. His power, His, and the word there would be dynamite, is the great power even of the gospel, is coming and drawing from Him. And the power of His might. His own strength. His own power. His own might. He has unlimited. I am limited in my strength. He is unlimited in His strength. I am restrained in my strength. He is unrestrained in His strength. I have rivals in my strength where people are so much stronger than I am. He is unrivaled in His strength. We are pulling from an omnipotent source who has all power to do anything He wants to do. He's stronger than my flesh, stronger than the world, stronger than Satan, and we are pulling from His strength if we want to win. Everything God wants to do, He can do. And the only thing God can't do is what He doesn't want to do. So we have unlimited power from the source that is Christ. I think this is amazing. It's what 1 Samuel 30, which I have to go back there because we just preached it a few weeks ago, when David and all of his men came walking back home and they found that their wives and their children had been taken captive and everything had been stolen. And they all just started weeping where they had no more strength to even cry. And in verse 6 it says that David is at his lowest point, drew strength from the Lord that enabled him to get up and to go and to fight another day. It's the same thing with 2 Corinthians 12. Where Paul had this thorn in the flesh and he begged God to take it away. Three times he asked God, take the thorn away. Take the thorn away. I can't bear it anymore. Take this burden off my shoulders. And three times God said no. And he said, but my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you are weak, I'm at my strongest. So we draw strength from Christ in order to be able to carry the burdens that life throws at us. We will never have enough willpower, enough strength, enough resolve to live the Christian life. Our only hope in winning the daily battles of life is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We must draw our strength. And that passage, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, isn't that He's giving me strength to dunk a basketball or to hit a home run or to become a doctor or to become a lawyer. He's giving me the strength. And this is what this is. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me to get up and to win the daily battles of life. That I can, through His strength, I can face the devil. Through His strength, I can face the world. Through His strength, I can overcome the temptation that my flesh throws at me. Through His strength, we can win the daily battles, but you have to draw from His strength. That's number one. That's the empowerment that we need. We must do this in His, and I want to show you those words again. Be strong, His strength, in His power of His might. That's telling me that He is omnipotent in His power, and if we want to win the daily battles, it has to be drawn from Him. We need His strength. So the question is, and I know what you're asking, because that's the same thing. I read verse 10 and I thought I can do a whole sermon on that. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We need His strength and we want to win the battles of life. And then the next question is, how do I get that? So I want to show you the equipment that we wear. Point number two. This is the strength that He gives. Here's where we gain that strength. Here's why you need Ephesians 6, where it says in verse 11, if you want that strength, here's how you get it. Because it is clear that we want power and might and strength. It's available to us in Christ. We all want it. I hope I've made my case tonight that if you want to win the battles that you have in life, you need His strength. And everybody in here should say, I want that strength. I can't do this on my own. I can't face it on my own. I mean, think about the things we face daily. Think about Courtney and Donnie who had to get up and go to a funeral for their son. How are they going to face that on their own? Christ will have to strengthen them. How can you face the temptations of going to a university today where so many things are coming at you? How can you be strong enough to withstand all that? You'll need Christ's strength. How can you take the world today? How can you face the onslaught of Satan today? You'll need Christ's strength. If I ask you to raise your hand and I say, do you need Christ's strength? We'd all say, yeah, I do. I need it. Tell me how to get it. Verse 11, then do this. And He doesn't say, go meditate. He doesn't say, go sing some worship songs and that'll give you strength. He doesn't say, think some positive thoughts. He says, if we want to make Christ's strength our own, here's how we plug into it. Put on the whole armor of God. He uses this metaphor. He uses an illustration. He tells us this is how you do it. Here's the action. Here's what we do. If we want His strength, God doesn't automatically do this for us. We have to plug into it. And I'm using that illustration. For some reason, my mind thinks better of an illustration, maybe because I'm constantly plugging my phone in. Ooh, I'm losing charge. Ooh, I'm losing charge. I want to plug in. Put it in the car. Put it here in my office. Put it at home. I want 100% all the time. I never want to be below 90. That's how my mind thinks. But Paul here is not thinking of plugging into His power. He's thinking, if I want to be strong, then I need to be strong like this soldier that I'm sitting next to right now. Because he's in a prison cell, he's beside a soldier who is dressed in all this armor, and he's saying, if I want to be strong, I want to be strong like him. I want to use this metaphor of everything that he's wearing, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and I want to use all these illustrations to show you, if you do this, you'll have Christ's strength. So he tells us to put on, I like that, in the whole, and he'll say that again, in verse 13, wherefore take unto yourselves the whole armor. If you want to be strong, you have to take every bit of it. That's why I want to go one by one down through it. These are the things, six things that He gives us to give us strength. And you have to put it on every single day. And you're going to have to wear every single piece of it. Because if you leave one piece off, that'll be the one place that Satan attacks. Right?
Yeah.
So you're going to put every bit of it on every single day. I would say this, every single morning, as you put on your clothes, and I want to make it available to you as we go through this series. I want to make it to where it can be on your mirror in your house. I want to make it where it can be available on in your car as you're driving. That you're thinking about all these things that you have to be putting on to gain the strength of Christ in order to win the battles of life. These are the six things that you have to put on. And you need to put them on as an illustration every single day, like putting on your clothes. Never leave home without the armor of God. You don't want to ever step out into the world and all that it's going to throw at you without the armor of God on. You don't want to ever face the devil who's going to throw all kinds of wicked schemes at you without the armor of God. You don't want to face the flesh without the armor of God. If you're going to win this battle, every single day, wear the armor of God. Never be vulnerable, because if you don't have a piece on, then you're going to be vulnerable in that spot. If you go out and have none of it on, you're going to be vulnerable and lose daily battles. Everything we need to have Christ's strength is found in the armor of God. We can't win without the armor. We must wear, and that's the point. This is the equipment. The equipment is Christ's strength. So we must have, and I'm going to move on to the last point. I'm almost done. We must have Christ's strength through Christ's armor in order to win. Now I want to answer one last question, because it says it here in verses 10 and 11, 12 and 13. What does it mean to win? You say, what does that mean? Because here in verse 11, after he says to put on the whole armor of God, then you may be able to do this. So I put the last point as the enablement we need. So I went empowerment, equipment, and enablement. Because now he tells us what it means to win. What does it mean to win the battles every single day? Look what it says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the entirety, the whole thing, armor of God. And then, once you have that armor of God, you'll be able. And I'll stop right there. Be able to what? Because whatever's after the ablement, whatever this armor enables you to do, is the victory. That you may be able. So this is the goal. Whatever's after able is the goal, the mission, the objective, the whole point of God's strength and God's armor. This is what victory looks like. Every single day, here's what your victory will look like. Enabled to what? Now I want to say what it doesn't say first. I mean, I know you guys are already looking at it. You know what it says there. But it doesn't say, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to attack. It doesn't say that you put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to bind Satan. It doesn't say put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to do supernatural gifts. It doesn't say put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to bring down strongholds. And that's what you hear a lot in our church culture today, is that winning would be binding Satan, bringing down strongholds, casting out demons. You know, all these things that we're going to start gaining ground on Satan. We're going to attack him and go after him. And we're going to win battles by taking ground from Satan. That's not what it says. These people say these things, I'm going to bind Satan. It reminds me of my kids taking wrapping paper tubes and pretending to have swords. They're just playing around. They don't have real swords. They're not winning anything. You have all these people out there talking to Satan. I want to bind you. I bring you down. I put you in your place. They do all these things and they're just playing games. That's not here. If God wanted us to do those things, He put it right here in this passage. But put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. That's what He wants us to do. That's victory. That's our mission. All we want to do at the end of the day is say we stood our ground. And I'll prove it. Watch this. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore. Four times in just a few verses, he tells us exactly what victory looks like. That at the end of the day, when the dust is settled, that you're still standing. Not that we're gaining ground, but that we are standing our ground. I want to say that again. Not that we are gaining ground. Because nowhere in this passage does it tell us to attack. The enemy comes at us. We don't go at them. I'm not attacking Satan. How foolish would that be? We flee from Satan. We withstand Satan. We stand our ground. We don't back down. Why would I pursue that? Why would I go after him? This is not an offensive war. It's a defensive war. This is not an attack. We withstand the attack. So he's saying here, at the end of the day, what we want when all the dust is settled is that I have withstood the attack of the world. I've withstood the attack of the flesh. I've withstood the attack of Satan. And I'm still standing and I haven't been back down. I haven't backed down yet. That I hold my position, that I hold my ground, that I'm not marching forward or assaulting, but I'm standing. I love that Martin Luther said that in the Reformation. Here I stand, I can do no other. And that's victory. That I'm standing, that I'm holding my ground, that I'm holding the ground in my own soul, holding the ground. If we want to win spiritual battles in our church, we hold the ground in our church. Hold the ground with our home, with our marriages. Those are the places under attack, so we must hold our ground with resolve and never retreat. Watch this. Stand your ground on your convictions and refuse to back down. That's winning. That I have convictions on what's right and what's wrong, and everything in the world now is trying to back us down on those convictions. And you've got churches today, they're taking steps back. You know, they're on their heels, right? They're about to fall over. They're about to give in to the pressure of the world and the wiles of Satan. And their flesh is saying, this is too hard. And they're being too mean. And they're starting to back down. And he says, no, stand your ground on your convictions. How are you going to do that? Through the strength that Christ gives through the armor of God. That's how we'll stand our ground. And we aren't on our heels. We're out front of our toes with our chest out. Here I stand. That we'll hold fast on our commitment. You know, the world today is trying to pull you away from a commitment to Christ. They don't want you sold out to Christ. The devil doesn't want you living for Christ. The world will make fun of you for living for Christ. Your flesh will say it's hard living for Christ because people may make fun of you. People are backing down. You know, they're backing down. At the end of the day, stand your ground. Stand your ground on the truth of the Word of God. Are they not trying to back us down on that? Are they not pushing harder on that than they ever have? Pushing back on what's right and what's wrong. Christians today are on their heels. The Christians today are not on their heels, they're on the ground. Bowing to the world. Stand when you're under attack. Stand when you're tempted by Satan. You want to see someone who is strong when temptation comes. Because you know what temptation is going to do? It's going to back you down. It's going to keep coming at you and coming at you every single day. Coming at you. It's going to come through your eyes and you're going to see something that you desire. Your flesh will want it, and you have that temptation every single day to watch something you shouldn't watch, or to go somewhere you shouldn't go, or to do something you shouldn't do, or to say something you shouldn't say, or to post something you shouldn't post, and your flesh is telling you over and over, and the temptation is there, and you keep saying no, but it's backing you down. Time to knock you off your feet. But through Christ's strength and the armor of God, you'll have the power. You'll be enabled to stand against temptation. Let me show you someone who had the power to withstand temptation. You want to see this real quick? I hope it's the right passage. I didn't plan this. Yeah, watch this. It was Jesus led up to the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And I've preached this before, you guys know this, but when you fasted and not eat anything for 40 days and 40 nights, you're at your weakest point. So Jesus is placed at the weakest possible physical point. And that's when Satan attacks. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made into bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Understand this. Three times he was tempted, and every single time Jesus overcome that temptation. How? He had the strength and the armor in order to enable him to stand at the end of the day. I won't go through every single one of these. Yeah, I will. Then the devil took him up to the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And again, one more time, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of all the worlds and all the glory of them, and said unto him, "All these things I will give you if you'll fall down and worship me." Jesus tempted three times. And Jesus said unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Jesus withstood every single arrow that the devil threw at him. You want that strength? You want that might? You want that power? You have to plug into him by putting on the armor of God. Then you'll be enabled to withstand the temptation. Jesus had that in Matthew 4 at the very beginning of his life. I won't take you to the end of his life when he's in the garden sweating great drops of blood. And the temptation there is to give up. And on his knees praying and praying and praying. And then he stands and overcomes the temptation there too. If you want to have the power to overcome the temptation that Jesus did, you'll have to plug into him by putting on the armor of God. Then you'll be enabled to stand. You're going to have temptation at the beginning of your Christian life. You're going to have temptation through your Christian life all the way to the end. So that we could end it like Paul, who said, "I fought the good fight. I finished the course." Paul won more battles than he lost. How? Through the strength that Christ had by putting on the armor of God, he was enabled to win more battles than he lost. That's what it looks like to win the spiritual battle. Is at the end of the day, we can stand. And say, we withstood the attacks of Satan. Again, it says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Verse 14, "Stand therefore." And he'll begin to put it on, having your loins girt with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And after it all said and done, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of the saints. At the end of the day, you put all this on and you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray. And you'll win more battles than you lose. So we'll go through this one by one by one by one, and we'll put every single one of them on every single day. And we're going to teach the church to win the spiritual battles of life. Not every single one of them. You won't be undefeated. But you will grow spiritually every single day if you win more battles than you lose. And you'll be able to sing that song. I looked it up right before I got up here. Stand up for Jesus. I'm not going to sing it. "Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army he shall lead. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone." These hymns are good theology. In his strength alone. "The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. put on the gospel armor, watching unto prayer. I got one more verse. Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victory song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. So stand up for Jesus. You guys hadn't put that together before, have you? I hadn't until this week either. So stand up for Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word, for what it gives us. It shouldn't, but it surprised me this week how practical this is, how needed this is. I think it's necessary. Maybe we're all sitting here tonight saying, wow, you mean if I put on the armor of God, I can win more battles than I lose? That we can go to bed at night saying, oh man, I got beat up today. We can go to bed at night saying, man, temptation came, but I won today. And that's what we want. We want to win more battles than we lose. So God, teach us this over the next few weeks as we put on each and every individual piece of the armor. We want your strength through your armor so that we can be enabled to win the battles of life. Thank you for this time we've had to study your word tonight. We ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.